A reading from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in us, set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This text has everything: the gracious will of God the Father, forgiveness through the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit sealing the saints for the second coming, blessing, grace, praise, redemption, predestination, all three persons of the Trinity, and the entire story of salvation. One commentator sees a nice, tidy chiasm, climaxing in verse 10, with God's gracious plan for the fullness of time uniting all things in Christ. But another writes that in our text, St. Paul offers a great paean of praise, one long sentence, impossible to analyze, in which each successive thought crowds in on the one before. So how do we make a theme out of all of that? Here's my best try. Everything comes together in Jesus. Paul's breathtaking blessing is an Old Testament berakah. A berakah is a hymn-like praise of God for delivering a person or his chosen people. This particular berakah at the beginning of Ephesians is Paul's mental matrix for the rest of the epistle. Paul bursts forth with a 202-word run-on sentence, blessing the Lord for his countless benefits and for his rich mercy shown to us in Christ. God's love is extravagant, and so St. Paul's praise is extravagant. Paul blesses the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The rest of the clauses and phrases in our pericope refer right back here to God the Father in verse 3. And throughout the text, it's clear that God is the undisputed actor, savior, and bestower of blessing. He purchased our freedom from sin through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. He has adopted us and given us an eternal inheritance. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a down payment in the meantime. Everything necessary for our salvation comes together in Jesus. And so St. Paul blesses God for his merciful acts of salvation. In a certain sense, the opposite of blessing is complaining. Grumbling, murmuring, whining, like the Israelites, ungrateful for the miracle food given by God in the desert, which kept them from starving to death. I know that I complain and feel sorry for myself if just a handful of minor things seem to go poorly on any given day. If praise is a fruit of faith, it's fair to say that we complain when we forget that everything comes together in Jesus. If anybody besides Jesus ever had a right to complain, perhaps the best candidate would be St. Paul. We know quite well all the hardships he endured for the gospel: beatings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, sleepless nights, opposition from false teachers. If we were to give any mortal a license to complain, certainly we could include St. Paul. But we didn't hear Paul complaining this morning. In fact, he did just the opposite. Faith blesses, praises, and gives thanks, while idolatry complains. Idols produce anxiety, and the Bible says that those who worship idols become like them: blind, mute, deaf, and stupid. When your idols fail you, it's only natural to worry and to complain. So when you do feel the urge to complain, examine yourself and repent. It means you have some sort of idol to deal with. Whatever it is, you aren't trusting in Jesus to see you through. If you fear, love, and trust in anything other than Jesus, not only are you setting yourself up for pain and disappointment, you're sinning. The good news is that everything necessary for our salvation comes together in Jesus. Whether things seem to be going well for you or not, all things work together for your good. No matter what, whether you're joyous and carefree, or if you feel like you can't possibly buy a new house in Iowa, plan an ordination, coordinate an interstate move, and finish the four papers you still have left to graduate. No matter what, call upon God's name, pray, praise, and give thanks. Bless, acknowledge, and thank God for his rich grace, which he has lavished upon us through the life and death of Jesus. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that God the Father has made known to us the mystery of his will, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him. In the Greek, unite all things is anakephaliao. Literally, it means to recapitulate or to bring something to a head. Recapitulation is a classical rhetorical term. It's the comprehensive conclusion to a speech. The recapitulation is the fundamental point which the orator had been driving at all along. It's where everything comes together. And in Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit calls God's gracious will in Jesus the recapitulation, the summing up, the coming together of all things. His death forgives your sin, even idolatry, complaining, or thanklessness for his grace. Baptism into Jesus' death places us under a new head. Christ, the head of the church, his body, is himself her Savior. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. And so, you see, everything necessary for salvation comes together under Jesus. He knows your worry, suffering, and sorrow. Yet, even in the midst of them, faith in Christ overflows with joy, thanks, and blessing. Whether you live or die, whether you rejoice or weep, whether you go on to the beautiful state of Michigan, or eventually the gulag or concentration camp, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God chose to unite you to Christ before the foundation of the world. He loves you right now, and he promises you an eternal heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.